Let everybody say amen.
Amen.
God has been good to you. I know he has because you're still here. If God had not been good to us, we would not be here. He has allowed you to see, to add another day to your life. And we ought to be thankful for that. I am. I hope you are too. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from Ephesians chapter 6, the verses are number 11 through number 17. I know you're familiar, most of us as Christians are familiar with those few passages, and I know you probably heard something along these lines before, even from myself, but I think that serving the Lord is something that we need to look at on a constant basis. And if it means reviewing, then we review. Let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we are blessed this morning. We are blessed because you have seen fit to leave us here, given us one more opportunity to serve thee in spirit and in truth. We thank you this morning, Father, for the day that we have been given. We thank you for the night that we had on last night where we slept and slumbered with a roof over our heads and then was awakened this morning and had our clothes and breakfast and food and shelter. Father, we thank you for all of those things. Father, we are blessed this morning. I know we're blessed because we are here. I know we are blessed because we are able to call out thy name from the footstool of thy mighty throne. Thank you, O Lord. Father, we pray for those who are sick and shut in. We pray for those who are members of the body of Christ who are not able to be with us this morning here in this local congregation. We pray and ask you if it be your will that you will continue to heal them. And Father, we pray for the one who I got a call from early this morning, asking that we pray as a church for the well-being of two young men who were in a very serious car accident. We just pray, O Heavenly Father, that those two young men survive this accident. Especially the one of them, because if he does not survive, then the other one will be brought up on charges of reckless driving or something to that effect. We thank you, O Lord, for these two young men, and we pray for their well-being, and we pray for those families. We pray for the family of those who have lost loved ones and those who are dealing with illness and sickness. Father, we thank you and we pray for this city in which we live because it's violence plagued. And Father, we know that we can't get ourselves out of it. We need your help, O Lord. Father, we thank you for the leaders of this congregation that we stand as a beacon in a very dark world. We thank you, O Lord. We thank you for the brothers who have taken part in the services thus far. We thank you for them and their families also. We thank you, O Lord, for all you do for us, and especially the day you sent Jesus down to hang, bleed, and die on yonder's cross. We thank you, O Lord, because without him, where would we be? Thank you, O Lord, for everything, all things, and anything that you see fit to send our way. We thank you for the weather that we're having. We thank you for the sunshine that's shining our way today. We thank you, O Lord, that we might continue to be blessed. Now, my Heavenly Father, as we move on into the next portion of these services, we pray that the things that we do will be found acceptable in thy sight. These and all other blessings we do ask in the name of your Son, Jesus. Let the church say, amen. Once again, from an old familiar topic, Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse number 11, and the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the sword, the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always, I wanted to stop at verse 17. So, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. For a little while this morning, as we study from fitted for the battle. Fitted for the battle. No army would send out their soldiers to do battle with the enemy without equipping them for the job they face. Christians are soldiers in God's army, and we too must be prepared. We must be ready to engage the enemy head on. And make no mistake about it this morning, we are going to meet the enemy. If you have not already met him, you shall meet him. And we must be ready for engagement. If we are not prepared, we are most assuredly going to fall in defeat rather than stand in victory. We must be fitted and ready. So just how should we armorize ourselves to do battle? With Satan, God's word has given us unto us the pieces we need in order to be fitted for battle. To win the battle we are going to face, we must be fitted. I know many of us have heard the battle cry before, but Satan has not given up, and we should not either. So we should be prepared to do battle another day, and each and every day we should be prepared to be fit and ready to do battle. The girdle of truth. This piece of armor was worn by the Roman army to give and strengthen the back and midsection of the body. It kept a soldier from falling down and falling out when battling the enemy. Look at verse number 14, if you will. Verse number 14 says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." The Christian believer should be willing to stand up for truth. While others may be falling away, the word of God speaks to falling away. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. It speaks of the last days, of how that perilous time shall come. People today when we should be running toward God, far too many are running away from God. It speaks how that men shall be lovers of their own selves, proud, covetous, boasters, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce. But I want you to watch this part, church. They'll become despisers of those that are good. If you want to be criticized and despised, just let your Christianity show. And then finally in verse 4, it describes even further how and what mankind has become. Traitors from the very one who gives life. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. In these times, when we need God the most, many have turned away from him, denying his truth. This is why we need to make sure we put our girdle of truth on in order that we may stand tall and have the strength to defend the truth of the word of God. Now, in the book of Proverbs, back in the Old Testament, we find Proverbs 23 and 23 where it says, "Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding." You've got to stand on the truth. You've got to stand with the truth of God. And you know something, church? I've heard it said over the years, and I believe it's true. When the truth won't get it, what will? If the truth doesn't get it, what will? So if you tell the truth, then that's all you need to do. That's all you need to do. So then to the breastplate of righteousness. If, again, in verse number 14, if you will, it says, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Truth above alone is not enough to fend off Satan. If all we have is truth, Satan would be very pleased. It lists another equally important piece of armor we need. The breast is where the heart is located, and this is where Satan prefers to strike. When in battle, the enemy prefers to strike in the heart, for this is a deadly position and can cause instant death to a soldier. When Satan can influence a man's heart with his thought, he wins. Righteousness should be a way of life to a Christian, so our lives must reflect righteousness. Righteousness is the enemy of Satan. The heart of man's soul must be that of righteousness. Again, in Proverbs chapter 4, it tells us to keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Many people become members of the Lord's church. Some become committed Christians. Some become great Bible students. But then there are some who drop out of the church, and then there are still others who give up on the Christian lifestyle completely. Those are the ones whose heart was never completely in it to begin with. We need to make sure when we do battle with Satan that we have on the breastplate of righteousness. The Roman soldiers had to literally put on his breastplate to go into battle. We must take care of ourselves and make sure that we wear it in order to protect ourselves from the strikes of Satan. By knowing the word of God and living righteously by the word, so that we do not become a friend to Satan. Always remember, Satan will never be our friend. He will only pretend to be a friend until he has locked into you. Satan is no one to want to make friends with. Satan is never going to be a great friend. I know that there are some who think that I've got a great friend in Satan. But I'm here to tell you this morning, Satan is never will and never shall be and never will be a friend to a Christian. The shield of faith. The shield is used to protect the soldiers from projectiles launched by the enemy, which usually were arrows, and these arrows were made up of a dart that had been dipped in oil and set afire. The shield would be the soldier's protection against these arrows. In verse number 16, notice verse number 16, if you will. Above all, taking the shield of faith. That's all I want to read for now. Take the shield of faith. The Bible tells us we need the shield of faith to protect us from the fiery darts of the wicked. Faith is a must-have in order that we might keep on going when it seems as though all hope is gone. The Bible has a perfect example for that, and usually everybody knows about where you're going when you talk about faith. We are going to talk about Job for a moment. It seems that all hope was gone for Job. The devil had taken his family, his fortune, his friends, his future, as well as his health. The story of Job is a spellbinding story. If it was a made-for-TV movie, it would be well worth watching. If it was a movie in a theater, it would be worth going to see, because in chapter 2, around verse number 8 of Job, we find Job is in much distress. He took him a potsherd. That's a fragment of an earthen vessel. to scrape himself as he sat down among the ashes. This man was in so much pain and distress, he sat in an ash heap, and he found relief there. A man in so much pain, he had resorted to sitting in the ashes. All he had left was his trust in God. In Job chapter 13, in round about verse number 15 and 16, the Bible says, he said, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. Verse number 16 says, he also shall be my salvation, for a hypocrite shall not come before him. Job said, all I have left is my faith. All he had left was his faith. Job's faith allowed him to trust in what he believed in. In chapter 13, in verse number 18, Job stated, I know that I shall be justified. He wasn't about to give up on God, no matter how his wife and his friends insisted that maybe this is what he should do. For they knew not what Job knew. What did Job knew? No, what did Job know? Well, when our backs are against the wall, faith can get us around the wall. All we need to do is trust in God and to get us through it, around it, or over it, or even above it. Because God knows the outcome, even though we don't even know that it's coming our way. God knew the situation before it even comes to us. He has already worked it out. Sometimes we as Christians have to suffer a little, but God is still in control. There are other pieces of armor that we need to briefly mention. It's not because they are less important, but instead because you all don't have the time to hear me talk about them this morning. I know that some of you are saying to yourself, well, preacher, I heard this message before. I've heard a similar message before. I've heard something that sounds like this before. What is new about this message? Well, the message is not new. The Bible is not new. The Bible has always been here, and the Bible shall always stand. And as I heard somebody say just the other day, you never graduate from the Bible. And that's a true saying. You will never, ever graduate from the Bible. You can graduate from high school, from grammar school. You can graduate from high school. You can graduate from college. You can graduate from graduate school, but you can never graduate from the Bible. So let me mention briefly just a few others. History tells us that the Roman soldiers wore shoes that were made of some kind of tough leather with spiked soles because they had to get over rough terrain. When we follow the Lord, we shall have hard and rough situations we must encounter. So we must be ready to encounter those situations. We must be prepared. Another item is the helmet of salvation. Look at verse number 17. And take the helmet of salvation. That's all I want for now out of that one. The helmet of salvation. Satan's challenge always aims for the mind. So we must have head protection. The battle will be won or lost in the mind. He puts all kinds of doubt, fears, and questions in one's mind. We must be in a right relationship with God if we ever intend to make God our home with God and be a godly and a Christian man or a woman. We must make every effort to stay with God instead of giving in to Satan. We must be equipped with this one. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. No soldier in God's army is fully equipped until he is armed with his sword. The Word of God has shown us how we must be fitted in order to do battle against Satan. There's no doubt about it, church. We need to be armed and fitted to serve God. We must be equipped in the whole, be set up and equipped in the whole armor of God. If we are, there's no doubt about it, we are going to face battles when you speak up for the Lord. Look at the text once again. Go back, if you will, to verse number 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. They're going to throw darts at us, and we have to be ready. In verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Church, I don't know if you realize what's going on in the world today. We live and we hear about evil each and every day of our lives. You know what? This particular week past us has been a very violent week. It's been a violent week for our young folk. It's even been a violent week for a few older folks as well. But you know something? With all the praying that we do, with all the glory and giving to God, we still need to keep on praying. We still need to keep on asking God to intervene, because some kind of way it's gotten out of hand right now. And if it's out of hand right now, before we get it in hand again, we must ask God to help us. Somebody said, well, I think the parents are due a lot of criticism on behalf of their young folk. Well, I'll tell you something about that. You can raise your kids up right as you want to raise them, as right as right should be. But soon as they leave the house, they become different people. All you can do is, when they leave home, is you can turn them over to God, saying, God, if you will, bring them back home to me. But still, when they get out there, they're going to do what they decide to do anyway. And you know what? Junior always has one knucklehead friend. And that knucklehead friend can influence Junior to do things that even the parents taught him against. And I say to you this morning, there's nothing wrong with the world. It's the people in the world. It's the people of the world. God has been forgotten in a lot of instances. And we need to get back to God. We need to go back to God, because we need the Lord. And we must become equipped to go back to God. We must be fitted for the battle. When you speak up for the Lord, we must be fitted with the whole armor of God, that we may be ready when we come upon the evil of this world. I just wish I had enough time this morning, I wish you had enough time this morning to hear more about the sword of the Spirit, for it is the whole truth of the matter. I guess that'll have to be another message, maybe. The whole armor of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And right now, when I think about it, I look out and I say to myself, where is the church? Yes, where is the church? The church that the Lord died for, shed his blood for. Upon this rock I will build my church. I'd be remiss if I didn't bring this forward this morning. The word of the church of Christ is the only church that you'll find in God's Bible, the sword of the Spirit. The only church that God has given unto us. And when he purchased it with his own blood. And in Mark 16:16, the Bible says we must be baptized in order to be saved. The Bible says in Luke 13:3, nay, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. When I think about it, we must be baptized, and here's the pool, the water is ready. If there be anybody out there who needs to be baptized, Brother Jackson loves to baptize folk, and he will baptize you this morning. But we must learn to be members. We must learn that we must be baptized in the church that Christ built. Now, I know what many of us learned long time ago. I thought that my grandmother could never do anything wrong. But my grandmother didn't steer me to the Church of Christ. She steered me to one of the old country churches setting back in the woods a long time ago. And that's where I kind of grew up until I came to this city and I was introduced to the Church of Christ. And just like so many others, I had some questions. And the questions I had in my mind were, how come I had never heard of this church before? How come nobody introduced me to the church? And that's where the sword of the Spirit comes in at. It'll tell you all about the church. It'll tell you everything you need to know about the church. But you must be fitted for the battle. You must be fitted. You must know the Word of God. And I'm not saying that you need to know everything in the Word of God, but you need to study to show yourself approved. And how do I study to show myself approved? Well, it's very simple. Pick up your Bible, open it up, and start reading from it. And when you read from your Bible, you'll get the Word of God instilled in you. And then when you get the Word of God instilled in you, then you'll learn to become a better Christian. And when you become a better Christian, you'll be a better soldier in God's army. And when you become a better soldier in God's army, you're able to recruit more other soldiers to God. The Word of God can do a lot for us. The Word of God is all we have. Now, I know what they say. They say that the Bible is the world's most popular book. It's been a bestseller on the bestseller list for many, many years. But it's no good unless you read it. It's no good unless you understand what you read. And I'll tell you, I don't understand everything I read. So I'll call somebody from time to time and I'll ask questions from time to time because I don't know it all. I don't want to pretend to be a know-it-all. I don't want you to think that I have it all wrapped up because I don't. I'm just like you. I'm a human being and sometimes I don't understand things. And then you know what the first thing I'll do? The first thing I'll do is I'll ask in prayer of God to give me wisdom and knowledge. And then I'll go to the telephone and say, look, brother, I need some help with this one right here, right now. And that person may be able to help me. Sometimes that person can't help me. But you know something? I don't let it go. I continue on to look and to read out and to research, I should say, research it further. Because that's what the Word of God should make you do. Study a little further. Now, I'll tell you, I've read the Bible many times before, the entire Bible. But how many times have I studied the Bible? That's what makes a difference. Reading and studying is two different things. I can read, but I'm not necessarily studying. When I study, I got the Word of God and I get it instilled in me. When I study, I get the Word of God becoming more vivid and more lively to me. So what do you need to do? Well, you need to do the same thing that I need to do. You need to study more. You need to read the Bible more. And not only read it, but study it. You need to ask God for guidance. You know, I can open the pages of the Bible and I can find an answer to everything that plagues this world today. I can find everything that plagues mankind today in the Bible. But do I know what it means? That's where my studying comes in at. I have to understand its meaning. Then when I've studied God's word and I've learned what it means, then it's up to me to follow through with that. You can ask God to give you wisdom if you don't have wisdom. God will give you wisdom because he gives wisdom. But then, what do you do with the wisdom once you get it? Do you apply it, or do you just let it go to waste, to the wayside? You know, we talked about teamwork a week or so ago. We talk about becoming a team to work for the Lord. We talked about there's no I when you spell the word team. We talked about it a week ago. But the one thing I want you to know, if you get nothing out of none of the messages that I bring, if you get just one thing out of a message that I bring, then I've been successful in my message, in my sermon. But another thing I want you to understand is that with God, all things are possible. There is nothing impossible for God. And sometimes I get beside myself when I think about it. But then all I do is I stop for a moment and I think about it. I look to the sky sometimes and I say, God didn't ask me to help him put not one star in the sky. God didn't ask me when he painted the waters blue and the ocean and the waters sometimes become green. God didn't ask me to help him do that. He didn't ask you either. And then another thing, I look at the handiwork of God all around me and I say, Lord, this is beautiful. And then it always comes to me when I'm in an airplane. As that airplane is 30 or 40,000 feet in the sky, I said, Lord, how beautiful heaven must be, because it's beautiful right here. But how beautiful heaven must be. I think to myself, do I want to get there? And the answer is always yes. The answer is never no, I don't want to go to heaven. And it should never be no in your mind either. That's why you have to deal with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If you don't believe the Word of God, then what will you believe? And I know my time is up now. But I have to tell you just a couple more things. If you don't believe in the Word of God, will you pick up some other book and replace the Word of God with? I suggest that many people have replaced the Word of God with another type of book. And the Word of God is the only thing that can give directions to our lives. It tells me my beginning, my end, as well as my end. And it even gives me something in the middle to concern myself with. And I know that I have an end coming. Because 9:27 of Hebrews says, once appointed to man to die, and after death, the judgment. And so I know it's coming. I know one day that we'll no longer be here. I know that one day we are going to have to make an account for everything we've done in this life. I know that every knee shall bow and every eye shall see him. So it behooves us to be fitted for the battle, because the battle is ongoing. The battle is each and every day. And somebody said, well, that's why I came to church, because I wanted to be rid of the devil. He came in with you. Maybe not with you, but he came in with somebody. He's in here. And like I always tell you, he's not wearing a blue pinstripe suit or a yellow dress. I mean, he's not wearing a red suit. He's wearing a yellow dress or a blue pinstripe suit. You know what I meant. I'll get it right in a minute. In other words, he looks just like some of us. He looks just like us. And he's just waiting to do something, for somebody to do something, and then somebody else will say, I told you that about them folk at church. I told you they wasn't right. They look around for things to look at and to criticize. But you know something? If you carry with you and become fitted for the battle and you have with you the sword of the Spirit, you'll know when you step to the wrong side and you'll know when you're on the right side. And if you're in the book, you're on the right side. When you step wrong, you'll know that you went astray of God's word. So what do I need to do to become a member of the Lord's church? And I'll tell you this morning, I've already told you, as a matter of fact, there is no other church but the church of Christ. If you find another church in the Bible, I had one friend of mine that said, I'll eat the Bible. Because you won't find another church in there. Oh, you'll find references to the church of God. But when it says the church of God, who shed his own blood, who shed the blood, his blood? Was it God or Jesus? Jesus Christ. So it is the church of Christ. And the churches of Christ in Romans 16 and 16 salute you. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. So when you're in doubt, pick up the phone. First of all, fall on your knees and ask God to help you. But then if you don't get it still, then pick up the phone and ask a human person to help you understand the Word of God. So as I said, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then by being baptized in the watery grave of baptism. You can find the watery grave of baptism right up here. And as I always like to allude to Brother Jackson, he'll baptize you any Sunday, any kind of weather, Brother Jackson is ready. Isn't that right, Brother Jackson? All right. I have to check with him to make sure he's still with me. So as we could together get ready to stand and sing the song of invitation, you have an opportunity now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
36.